Welcome to the International Association of Business Communicators EMENA Region podcast. This is Monique Zidnik. In this episode, our guests Lisa Reimers, Michael Nord and Adrian Cropley talk about some of the key communication industry topics right now. All of our guests are prestigious speakers at the IABC World Conference 2024 in Chicago. And today we get to discuss their insights and aspirations. So let me quickly introduce our guests and then we can jump straight into the discussion, which is, of course, the best bit. Lisa is dialing in from London today and is an accessible consultant, communications and digital workplace specialist, and on the IABC EMENA UK and Ireland chapter board. She's speaking about communicating with impact, how to make your comms more accessible at the World Conference in 2024. Michael is a change and transformation communication specialist based in the Netherlands, and he is a key member on our IABC EMENA board and long-term IABC member. I've really enjoyed working with Michael closely over the years on the IABC EMENA board. And his session is on mindfulness, which is top of our mind right now with all of the changes going on in our world globally. So I can't wait to get his insights there. And our third guest, Lucky Three, is based in Melbourne, Australia. Welcome, Adrian. He is the founding partner of the Centre for Strategic Communication Excellence and is focused on helping leaders and organisations communicate purposefully. His conference topic is Dialogue Den, Ethics, Governance, and Responsible Use of AI in a Changing World. And they will be discussing AI and responsible use, which is hugely topical right now, I think, on the minds of all of our communication leaders. Adrian is an APAC member, so welcome to the EMENA region, and also a past IABC chair. Thank you so much for joining us, Lisa, Michael, and Adrian.
Great to be here.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
We're all from different countries, and I'm really curious to know a little bit more about the trends that you're seeing right now. So how about we start with you, Adrian? You're the furthest away from us here in Europe and the UK. What are you seeing on the ground right now in Australia for hot communication topics?
Thanks, Monique. And it's great to be talking with all of you today. And it's I think it's a great question to lead off on, because we're constantly focused on what's happening within our industry and what's creating that change that we all have to deal with. And look, just because we're really south within the world, I think we tend to be on par with the trends that are happening right across the globe. However, I think Australia's unique in at the moment is, and this is going to make everybody jealous, is we really didn't feel the impact of the recession of a number of years ago. We really didn't feel the impact of a few of the economy changes. And suddenly Australia is now facing that head on, where people are going, oh my gosh, we are really struggling when it comes to money, finance, the cost of living. And I know everybody's feeling it around the world, but we've been so sheltered for a little while. So I think everybody's going, way done, you've caught up now. But what it's done is it's created this real landscape where organizations now are really kind of clamming up with expenditure, where they're using things like consultants and so on. So in the world of communication, there's a lot of stagnation that's happening within the market and not big investments in communication. And then on top of that enters the world of AI that's come along and is absolutely changing our landscape. Now, I'm not sure whether people are rubbing their hands together going, right, AI is here, it's going to create efficiencies, therefore I really don't need to keep employing people because AI will do a lot of these jobs for us. So I think the tech area is on steroids right now. And as always, the communication function is scrambling to keep up and catch up and get ahead of this wave that's coming through. But we've also got the fact that we've had, you know, this decaying trust over a few years. And for people that, you know, have seen the Edelman Trust Barometer globally, we reflect the same trends that are happening globally, that trust is in polarization. So I'm really glad that Michael's talking about mindfulness at the conference, because I think that's such an important issue, because we really have a society that is fracturing, and you know, where there's this real poles of opinions. And my biggest fear is with the advent of AI that it's just going to make it a whole lot easier for those people that are squawking on their topics and really polarizing and spreading misinformation. It's going to get much worse. Now, I don't mean it to sound doom and gloom, because there's some great things that are on the horizon with the advent of the new technologies in AI. And I know Lisa will be really pleased with the the fact that accessibility is going to be such a huge growing area that we're seeing, certainly in Australia, because AI can do all of this for you with transcriptions getting better and so on. And but it's keeping it on the radar for communication professionals so that they are absolutely focused on that. So mixed, exciting times, but challenging times.
And I completely agree with the whole misinformation. I think that's the biggest challenge on not internal comms, not external comms, but communication leaders' minds at the moment. How can they protect their brand? How can they prepare for the eventuality that will come, that fake information gets spread about their brand if it hasn't already? And how can they avoid any political issues? But Lisa, so many things for you to bounce off on Adrian's observations from down under. What are you seeing in the UK?
So I think the misinformation part of what you were just saying is absolutely true. And actually, we've just announced, it's like we were queued up for this, but it's completely a coincidence. In June, the UK and Ireland chapter, we've got an event coming up about with a journalist talking about how to spot fake information, which I think is going to be really timely and a really hot topic for a lot of people. I think AI is obviously being talked a lot. It's being talked about a lot. I know communication professionals already using it in their day jobs. I know people that have been able to use large language models like ChatGPT to help speed up some of the creation of those more formulaic comms. As much as we like to think that a lot of what we do is really strategic, we have to do a lot of tactics every day. And I think understanding what these tools can do for us, but also understanding their limitations is important. ChatGPT is never going to tell your leadership team that they shouldn't actually communicate about that. That's not something we should be talking about. These models are never going to tell you not to do something. They're just going to tell you how to do it, and it looks great from a distance. Adrian touched on there how transcripts are getting better. So, you know, you get your transcripts for all of your meetings or videos that you want to publish, but humans still need to go in and edit those. It's, you know, there are ways to go in. Depending on the product you're using, you might be able to say, if somebody says this, that is our brand name, stop calling it something else in the transcript. But they're still not great at picking up accents. They're not great at picking up someone speaking very quickly. And I think it's important to remember that, you know, if you're using something like PowerPoint and you want to put some descriptive alt text on your picture, AI will generate something for you, but it's very unlikely to get the specific context that you need to, that you're trying to communicate. So I think it can be a fantastic starting point for people, but it still needs human intervention to make it really valuable. And actually make sure that we're not relying on something that's actually making it worse for people. In a lot of the time, I've seen some of the generated stuff, it's just adding more words for people who might not need to read it at all. And I think outside of AI, I think something that I'm seeing businesses still struggling with, and I think the last few years have really forced a change in how a lot of organizations work. I don't know what it's like in Australia at the moment, but there's been a real push to get people back into the office. Not return to work, because everyone's been working all the time, but getting people back into the office and then trying to navigate that office environment where you have got a distributed workforce, you're trying to speak to people, you don't want to just go into the office and then be on Teams meetings for 8 hours a day. The pandemic forced us to think about new ways of working, and it's opened up some fantastic opportunities to be able to, like for this podcast, you know, we're talking together, we're in different time zones, we're on a video call. 5 years ago, this wouldn't have been the kind of technology that we were all using every day. but we've all worked out our own ways of using it. There wasn't enough time to do a proper change management process. And most organisations didn't invest. They just didn't have time to actually invest in the training for people to understand what's possible from all of these tools. So we've all worked out that our own little funny ways of working with it. We've been muddling through. Everyone's super busy. I don't think that's not changed in the last 20 years. I've never met a comms person who says that they're not busy enough.
Yeah.
We're scrabbling around with all of these digital channels, and we need to help cut through that noise, both for our colleagues in our immediate teams to make sure that we're making the best out of it. And then also when we're communicating to people inside and outside the organisation, that we've got that, we're helping cut through all of that chatter, cutting through that noise and helping people really see the messages that they need to know about.
And for our listeners, Adrian was furiously nodding on the returning to the office topic, as was Michael. As I said before, I know that we are lucky because we know what good communication looks like, and we're in the driver's seat with AI, and it's up to us to make sure that we are that strategic advisor who can advise our leaders on what we should and shouldn't do, as you said, Lisa. Michael, I want to bring you in right now. What do you see, both internal and external comms from the Netherlands? I'm very curious.
Yeah, so we have two wars on the brink of Europe, or one is in Europe and one is around the corner from Europe. And I think the Ukrainian and the Gaza situations are really, really dire and are causing a lot of anxiety, causing a lot of unrest and uncertainty. I think investments are being postponed right now because people are not quite sure how far these two wars will go and what will happen. And even though EU is committed and NATO is committed to support Ukraine, there is a limit because money after 3 years or 2.5 years of corona, we're getting to the bottom of the funds. And so we're also seeing uncertainty whether we'll hit another recession. But right now, economies is okay and strong, but the investments are being postponed, the big investments. And I think that has an influence on communications as well. I think leaders are thinking maybe we'll wait with this project or wait with this. And that also means wait with the communications around it. We have major elections coming up across Europe, and especially the European Parliament election in June. The right wing, and I'm talking the ultra-right wing, is really on the move. And that comes back to fake news that we talked about. It comes back to what is true, what's not true. A lot of things are being said right now from the right-wing parties. And even here in the Netherlands, there are coalition talks going on right now. We had election in November, but the leader of the coalition who has the most mandates in parliament is really ultra right wing. And his homeland is right now saying to him, don't go, don't compromise, because he's talking to other right wing parties and it's getting difficult. They've been talking for 5 months now and they still haven't come to an election. I think what Adrian talked about, trust with Edelman, we're seeing that polarization. We're seeing the lack of trust in governments, also in the EU institutions, but also slowly, there was an upgoing trend. There was trust in companies, but a number of scandals around plastics, PFAS and other things here in my home turf is causing people to think, are companies really honest? Or are they just saying that all the things about sustainability or being more green is just something in a document, and then they go and do something else. So I think we have a big challenge around communication, around sustainability. I do believe AI can help us there and can help us with these big topics, and it can help us communicators be more focused. And that's also what I'm going to talk about at the World Conference in June. So I think polarization, AI, trust, and the political unrest in Europe are big topics.
So just quickly, what I'm seeing in Berlin as well is the, as you said, the ultra-right influence is a big concern, and that combined with misinformation as well as the wars is are also hugely impacting, and also a bit of a backlash on greenwashing from the employee side, and that tension is causing some employers some concern. Michael, let's talk about your mindfulness session, because I think that's what we all need now, right now, just after listening to the challenges that we're all facing, well, across Europe and Australia at the moment. Would you like to share a little bit more, and also a little bit more about your IABC World Conference experience?
Yeah. So my first World Conference was in 2007. At the time, you could sign up as a volunteer, so you didn't have to pay for the conference. You had to just pay your airfare and hotel. I was lucky to be able to stay with a friend in New York, and it was an amazing experience. I was doing registration for 2 days, and then I could attend sessions in between. At that time, the World Conference was 1,500, 2,000 people. It was really, really big. And I was really in awe of all the speakers, of all the big names, but also my peers who were getting up and doing presentations. So it took me quite a while to get the courage to speak at a conference. This year, I must say, a bit left field. I didn't know that I would be chosen, but I'm happy I have been. I did after COVID, I did mindfulness training, and it really helped me focus privately, but also focus on my work. And I thought, why not try and apply some of the mindfulness techniques and share them and see how other people can benefit from them? I think we've had a couple of years where we communication professionals have been really in the breach and really been out there. We saw a lot of burnouts. We saw a lot of people taking new careers after COVID because they were simply burnout. So I want to talk about how can we have a more holistic approach? How can we use tools to spot fatigue and burnout in colleagues and in ourselves? But also, how can we stay focused? How can we not just be spread too thin by our stakeholders, but actually tell our stakeholders, no, I'm focusing here. What happens over there, you can either do yourself, I'll give you the tools, or we don't do it. And I think sometimes we need to have those conversations. Some people are good at that, but others are just, you know, going with where the energy is and being pulled in all different directions. I think we need to stop that. We need to be more holistic and focused.
Just thinking about the session that you're running and what's happening in our society today, and just in this last weekend in Australia, we've had the biggest rallies we've ever seen against that, campaigning against violence against women and the rise of domestic violence. And just as we were talking about the trends, and we're talking about polarization, the back of COVID, which was a really stressful time. Obviously, thinking around mindfulness now, it feels like society as a whole is getting to a tipping point where people have just so built up with so much anxiety, furiosity fueled by misinformation that they're just lashing out. And it's not that domestic violence has always been around, but it just seems to have quadrupled in the last few years, certainly during and since COVID. So we're seeing some societal fraying. And are you seeing the same thing in your part of the world?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Italy has the highest rate of women being killed within the family, and it's not being talked about. They even have a female prime minister. She doesn't talk about it. But the numbers are there. I saw the rallies in Australia, and I thought, this is something we really need in Europe. The other thing we are seeing, of course, on the basis of Gaza, is a hatred towards Jewish people in other countries than Israel. And the third thing I want to point out is the drive to stop choice of gender. We saw that in Tennessee last week, and we're seeing it in other states in the US, and we're slowly seeing it here in Europe. And unfortunately, the Catholic Church and the ultra-right wing are really on this bandwagon. They want to stop children or teenagers from making the choice of which gender they are. And it's scary. It's scary because it looks like signals just before the Second World War in 1930s. You're hitting on the weakest, you're hitting on certain groups, and you're targeting them. And then other people jump on it because the world is not a safe place at the moment. And I think that's very scary.
Like history repeating, isn't it?
Absolutely.
I think something for me, in amidst all of this global turmoil, a lot of us don't see other people in person as often as they used to. Whilst there's so much value in connecting on digital channels and actually being able to reach out to people and talking to people, having informal coffees, actually connecting with your colleagues that you're not now like co-located with, there's something, we're not designed as humans to live in boxes on our own and only interacting with a very small group of people. We, you know, we grew up in villages and communities. And I think certainly in the UK, where we're also seeing all of these topics that you've been talking about, people have sometimes lost that ability to be able to have conversations where they don't necessarily agree with one another, but they're able to continue that conversation without shutting it down. If you have that conversation online, you can close your, you can block someone, you can close your laptop, you can sit there stewing in your own thoughts for the day. I think that Michael's point, the session of mindfulness, I'm looking forward to. When you're going to a pub or you're in another social space, like maybe it's a library, maybe it's the office, maybe it's the canteen, maybe it's a cafe, you're able to have a conversation where you can say, well, I'm not really sure if I agree with that, and have a bit of a nuanced conversation, but also know that it is still that safe space, that you're able to disagree with your friends or even people you don't know very well. And I think having those opportunities to connect with people is so important. And I mean, part of the economic challenges that we've got in the UK at the moment, the hospitality industry got hit really hard over the last few years. We've got the rising cost of living. We've got a real spike in energy bills, partly triggered by the various wars that Michael has been talking about. We've got Brexit, which means that it's more difficult and more expensive to trade with us as a country. It's more difficult to move about. And there are so many challenges to keeping these public spaces open. And I think it's never been more important to go out and meet people in these spaces. You know, we don't want to see a high street that's full of betting shops and charity shops, but betting and gambling was the only category to increase in trade in the last few years. And I think that's a really telling point in what's going on in our economy.
That's a really big concern, actually. What gives me shivers is the phrase no debate, because that's shutting down and polarizing. And I'm wondering, as communicators, if there's a way that we can, not only within our organizations, but also with our customers, our external facing comms, try and have a think about how we can create a safe space for discussion and sharing of ideas. Because as you said, it's not being in, it's when you're online that that interpersonal relationship is a little bit more fragile, but at the same time, we seemed to have not worked out how to meet in person in a hugely like a valuable way. So again, all those debates about returning to the office, because we haven't got that right either for that time commitment. Going back to the conference, I'm very curious to hear from you, Adrian, and then Lisa, about more about your topics and more about your experiences at the World Conference and any advice for anyone who's interested in going.
Excellent. Well, with that, I'm just reflecting on Michael's first conference was 2007. Mine was 2005. And I think it was in Washington that I went to the first IBC conference. And it was humongous and very exciting and very daunting, because you see these real heavy hitters of communication, people that you'd read about. And then suddenly they're all at the conference and they've got talks. And we were in a political town, so we had a lot of political speakers at the same time. So it was really quite, and being at the hotel that President Reagan got shot. So it was a very exciting time for me. And I kind of got hooked on that one. And I think the biggest thing at a conference has been the networking. You know, meeting people from around the globe has been very important. I think it's been the glue that's held the conference together. And it's absolutely fabulous, that connection. And yes, as we see here today, we're connecting around. Mind you, I think I'm looking at membership in the AMENA region now, because, you know, you can join IBC anywhere. Maybe that's what I should be doing. Seeing as we infiltrated.
We'd love to have you, Adrian. And as you said, like,
we infiltrated Eurovision. And you're in Berlin, so yeah, the Aussies are everywhere, Monique. But my conference session is really obviously hot topics. It's AI. It was going to happen at a conference. But I'm working with Bonnie Caver, who's another past chair of IEBC, and the two of us are talking about ethics, governance, and responsible use of AI, which actually sounds like a dry topic, but we're running one of the dens, which are on the Wednesday, and it really is a conversation about the issues of ethics and our role in ethics as communication professionals. So this year we've gone through the whole development of responsible AI guides. You know, IABC's got one out there. We've got one as the Center for Strategic Communication Excellence and Global Alliance released theirs, and all the PR associations. But what I think is we get onto the bandwagon and we go, we need to have these things in place. But what do they actually mean in terms of delivery? It's a little bit like we talk about ethics policies. Well, we've got an ethics policy in place, but if you really don't give a two hoots about ethics, it doesn't control your behavior. It doesn't put a filter on. It doesn't stop you doing things. So I think it's much more about having the conversations around, you know, what is decency in use of things like AI. Misinformation, malinformation has been out there for a number of years now. We made some big mistakes, I think, with social media. Number one was not getting on board quickly enough as a profession. We looked at it and went, it's kind of a new tool, and you know, I'll wait. And then some of us as communication professionals went, it's just a fad, it'll go away. Mind you, we had the same conversations about telephones a generation before. So I think this time we really more than ever have to step forward into the conversations with the organization. And I think they have to be tougher conversations. They have to be conversations about talking to organizations around, because you can do this through AI, should you be doing it? Where's the, not just the ethical filter, but sometimes the moral filter of doing it? Because I think companies are in a real position where they can influence. Because if we look at the Edelman Trust Barometer, you know, four pillars of our society are not trusted, including business, but business can be the leading light. And I remember Richard Edelman said in the presentation that when they released this year's report, that business now should be having conversations with the experts to re-engage trust in the expertise. Because if organizations and businesses have the relationship with their employees as the trusted place to work, then we should be having those conversations to bolster the other area of society that really needs to be listened to right now, particularly around climate change and those issues. And we're dissing experts in social media. And there's a couple of reasons we do it, is because it's a platform that's uncontrolled. And even the CEOs of those platforms are going, well, you can't stop freedom of speech. But there's a big difference between freedom of speech and really attack and promoting insurrection. So we've got to be very, very careful around those things. So I think we've got a great role in communication to support organizations in the way that they conduct themselves in this new world. So, and that sounds very heavy, but it's going to be quite a good conversation to engage communication professionals into their role, because we have to take a more active role than we've ever taken before. So I'm very excited about the conference.
And I think the challenge is that businesses do have a responsibility. Their employees and people and customers are saying so. At the same time, they've got the added benefit of being cross-border and global in some instances. But at the same time, we all need to remember that there is a bottom line and there is that driver for profit. So again, intentions and opportunities across the border. Lisa, what's your session?
So my first IABC World Conference was only 2022, which was really quite recent compared to Michael and Adrian, and I'm sure yourself as well, Monique. But it was one of the best conferences I've ever been to. I love an event. Conferences are, it's that opportunity to get together with people. You get the breadth of sessions. Something I particularly enjoyed about the IABC conference, it's not just about channels. It's not just about strategy. It's not just about one aspect of communications. The range of sessions available is really about fostering professional development for communication professionals. I remember there was a talk about how to speak more clearly, like how to be a better storyteller, how to help celebrate your successes. And I think these are all skills we need, particularly now where we could be replaced by an AI generated video avatar if we're not careful. I've seen it happen in at events already. I love that the conference gives you that opportunity to think a bit differently about your own practice, to talk to other people and actually remember that actually you're doing quite a good job. It's very easy to sit at your desk and think, well, it's not, everybody's telling me they could do my job better than I can. And if you're spending every day arguing with the rest of your organisation, maybe you're not in the best place. But actually, it's so common that people assume that anyone can communicate, and we do all communicate in our daily jobs, whether you're in communications or not. But I really appreciate the structured and informal networking opportunities. I remember when I went to the diner round in New York and I got to sit next to Simon Munger, who used to live 2 miles up the road to me in Southeast London, and we never met in person until we got to New York. So I think it's being able to take a step back and get that perspective on your practice and talk to other people and get some ideas, and then also remind yourself that you are a professional as well, and it's really nice to get that kind of feedback from people. So my talk this year is about accessibility and about accessible communication, but I'm coming at it from the perspective of making sure your communications are as clear as possible for everybody. We all want our messages to have a bigger impact. If your comms aren't accessible, you're already having at least 20% less impact than it could be. Or if I turn it round to you, would you like to know a way to get 20% more engagement with your messaging? It's not an edge case. I speak to people, whether they're communication professionals or people in the tech industry, and like, well, someone with disabilities just won't use my software. We don't have any colleagues that are disabled. I'm sure I'd know about it if we did, and then I'd maybe make a change. But there are so many hidden disabilities that people have in your organisation. In the UK, 1 in 4 people are classified as disabled now. And it used to be 1 in 5 a few years ago. And I think that's even that jump up shows the impact, whether it's better reporting, whether it's because there are more people that are unwell and have long-term disabilities because they might have long COVID. You know, we're in this situation where we need to make sure that we're not excluding anybody. We're not putting extra barriers in, because we're also, it means that not only are we putting all of this effort in to craft beautiful communications that at least 20% of our people might not be able to read at all, we're all busy people. You might have a situational disability. You might be using a device that has a really low contrast screen. You might have a baby on your hip because you're trying to pick up some emails later on in the day. You might be trying to watch a video while you're traveling between meetings, but there's no audio there, or you can't, you know, you forgot your headphones and you're on the train. We need to be providing transcripts. We need to be providing formats of things that anyone can access, regardless of their situation. And, you know, we went out for dinner after one of the IABC meetings in London recently, and went to this fancy restaurant, and it had these beautiful menus, and none of us could read them, because the light is low in the restaurant, the font is beige on a cream piece of paper, the font is also very small and fancy. And people say, well, if you design with accessibility in mind, it kills the vibe. It's not as nice. But I tell you what, 5 people at a nice restaurant getting their phones out and using the torches on their phones to be able to read the menu kills the vibe a lot more. Like, there are steps that the 1 in 3 of us, according to the World Health Organization, 1 in 3 of us will need assistive technology at some point in our lives. I think we're all wearing glasses, or I've got contact lenses on, you know, like, this is something that will help make your information clearer for everybody, regardless of their situation. And they're tried and tested tips. You know, it's not just about, you know, I could have led with, it's your legal obligation. We are all meant to be following the various accessibility legislation in our countries. That can feel quite intangible and a bit scary and a bit like, I'm not really sure what I should be doing with that. And actually, accessibility is not necessarily explicitly part of any training that you might have had, assuming you ever had any training in PowerPoint or Word. Or so I'm hoping that with my session, you can come away with a few tips to help make sure that what you're sending all the time is easier to read for your colleagues, for yourself, for people that are busy, and also meeting your legal obligations, but also being inclusive and mindful that people in your audience will be able to actually read the information you're providing for them.
Lisa, so thank you so much for the example of the restaurant. I see it so many times when I think, has there been a communication professional around here? Orange text on black? I mean, who can read that? Only people who are, you know, straight out of kindergarten will be able to see it. So I totally agree. And that's just an example. The accessibility of everything we do is so important and will be important in coming years. So absolutely. Thank you. Kudos to you.
I think it was the penny drop moment for all of us as we're sitting there. I went, oh my God, I so relate to that.
I think that's a great example, Lisa, of where people think of accessibility for people who have identified as having disabilities, where it's actually something that relates to all of us. I am very curious. I've got three experts on this podcast with me, and I encourage all of our listeners to reach out to you on LinkedIn and continue the conversation. But what tips would you give practitioners right now? I'm going to ask on behalf of all of our listeners. Who would like to jump in first?
Oh, we're all being very quiet now. I think it's the politeness in all of us as communication professionals. I think there's four experts on the line here, so we might ask you for your tips as well, Monique. If I'll go first, just to kick the conversation off, and I'm going to do the really sucky thing. You know, I used to give an apple to my teacher just so they loved me. So now I'll say one of my first tips is to read your book, Monique. And this is not just a dirty plug. The reality is you're talking about strategic communication and AI alignment. And I think having the conversations now, getting the education and the understanding around how we apply AI into what we do as communication professionals is going to be really, really key. The other tip is, and I can't help but say this because as a center, we're all about skills and skill development, is looking at the future skill set. It is changing. It is changing dramatically as AI starts to look at the transactional stuff that we do. Lisa and Michael have both mentioned this, is AI might take some of the stuff that we can do, but you have to have human intervention. So you have to have human intervention to check and to edit and to make sure it's the right facts and information, but we also have to give it personality and connection. And so those skills of the future around building good relationships, things like problem solving, resilience are all head topics, as well as emotional intelligence, and not just at the leader level. We're seeing now where people need to develop much more emotional intelligence as individuals, as practitioners within their own disciplines, which actually I think is a good thing because it might go a little step further to solving some of these societal issues that we have. And I've always thought that communication can serve the greater good of society. It's a very, very powerful tool. And I think now if we start working towards how we become the best advisor we can to our organizations, how we can upskill our people within the organization, upskilling in AI, upskilling in the latest trends, but all those human areas that human sciences is where we need to build some of those skills. So they're some of my top tips.
I agree. We need to be the human to the machine. Lisa?
I completely agree on that, being more human in the workplace. I think taking that time to connect with other communications folk where you can, whether it's coming to World Conference, which is a fantastic opportunity to connect with maybe 1,000 others, or at least a handful of them. You might not talk to everybody, but that's one thing you can do. But making sure you have time for virtual coffees, having or walking meetings or face-to-face, trying to grab those chats between the meetings to help your own sanity, as well as, you know, taking that physical step away from your desk and getting out to talk to other comms people gives you more perspective. But then it's not just about the comms people. Making sure, I remember in the before times, it was quite common for me to get onto the HR forums agenda, to get onto the sales conference team's agenda, actually getting out to the business, understanding what it is that their challenges are. So whether you're supporting the sales team as an external comms and marketing person, or whether you're supporting HR as a business partner or as a communicator, or even if you're looking after your digital channels and you're trying to go and actually understand what people's concerns are when you're rolling something out, making sure that you take that time. Everyone is super busy, we've all got too many meetings, but get onto other people's agendas, because it's much easier to get onto their agenda than it is to get them to come to you. And I think the other side of it is making sure that we take that time to celebrate our successes. If you don't blow your own trumpet as a communications person, it's very rare that somebody else will do that for you. Where they do it, make sure you've got it as a testimonial, make sure you've got that little file on your computer of all the nice things that someone has said to you. We need to be better at articulating the human value we provide to the organisations that we're in, so that we can't just be replaced by a tool that is cheaper, because it won't hopefully be better.
I agree with what my esteemed colleagues have been saying, but I want to add, what you can do yourself is to keep abreast of trends. Our communication landscape has changed in recent 5-7 years. We're seeing a number of technology providers who are creating either internet solutions, employee apps, or other things that help us engage with our stakeholders. And they've become really good at providing reports, webinars, seminars, events, where they share insights into how their technology works with their stakeholders, but also bringing those stories from their clients to life. I try to attend as many as I can of these events. Sometimes just sign up, but if I can't, I'll get the recording. But I think we need to not stop looking forward. We need to stop thinking that I know everything. We need to think every day is a learning day. And there is an event, a webinar, a seminar, a conference out there somewhere where I should be attending and listening and sharing and getting better. And that brings me back to certification. I think certification is not a topic we touched upon in this podcast, but it's certainly something that's top of mind for me. I think a lot of our communication professionals around the world are looking at certification at the moment, and they are seeing that as an opportunity to tell their stakeholders, their leaders, I'm a certified communications professional. I'm not just a communicator.
I'm curious about the joining webinars and information. I had a podcast with Katie McCauley, shout out to Katie, and we were talking about the information overload in terms of the amount of webinars that as a practitioner we can go to. I saw a post from someone, I'm just trying to remember, on LinkedIn the other day, who was complaining that there was too much good content out there and they just didn't have enough time to consume. Do you have any thoughts on, Michael, on choosing where to join and how to stay sane with the bombardment of excellent information that's out there?
Yeah, I think it's getting outside the echo chamber. Don't do webinars where you know you already know everything, but look at what's the future, what are the topics that's relevant in next month, next year, and try to focus on those so that you as a professional have that in your knowledge bank, that there's something going on, there's a trend that's coming, that's growing, that I should be following. There's no need to go to an event where you already know everything, but keep thinking about how you develop yourself.
And that's a really good tip, Michael, for World Conference. One of the things that I've always said to people, don't just go to the feel-good sessions, the one that's going to validate what you know, and then you walk away from it going, oh, yeah, but I do that anyway, or whatever. do the things that are completely out of your comfort zone, something you wouldn't necessarily go to yep. learn that new skill, be exposed to something different and actually stimulate the thinking. Otherwise, you do end up in those echo chambers. Is if I'm working in digital, I'm going to just go to the digital sessions. No, think outside. You're a communication professional. You should be going to accessibility or mindfulness or rather than just the AI session, right? So it's stepping out of that comfort zone and stepping into something new. It's the great opportunity to learn.
And that's where they say that innovation comes about, when you have two different ideas that collide and you come up with something new. Thank you so much for your time, Michael, Lisa, and Adrian. I just wanted to check in if you had any final thoughts that you'd like to share with our listeners.
So for me, it's really embrace the journey to conference. A lot of the learning happens outside of the sessions and outside of the formal bits. So things like dine around and, you know, meeting others from around the world are just invaluable. I mean, I still am friends with people I met at my very first conference, and it's amazing how you keep those connections. So yeah, connect, network, and enjoy.
And this is where I give a plug for the IABC AMENA region, APAC region, and Africa region joint evening reception. We've got to come up with a better name because reception sounds boring. We've picked an amazing venue and can't wait. Lisa and Michael?
Yeah, for me, challenge yourself to meet new people. Walk up to someone, start having a conversation. You may learn something new. And that's what happened to me. And that's how I met Adrian. That's how I met other people. That's how I met Lisa. So challenge yourself. Don't just walk in your own circles, but get out of those circles and meet some new people. Everyone is there to share their story.
Amazing. Thank you so much for your time, Lisa.
So one of the things that I think Adrian said about not going to the things that you just know about, I am not an accessibility expert. I'm a practitioner who's learned about accessibility as part of my work as a content designer and a communications professional. And when I went to World Conference in 2022, I met Mathis Hamon-Elise, who is genuinely an accessibility expert, and she blew me away with her technical knowledge. And it's been really exciting that I'm getting to work with her on a project where we're planning to write a book together about accessible communication. And she's based in Canada, and it's one of those fantastic opportunities that's come out of the truly international nature of the IABC, which I think is one of its strengths above many, if not all, of the other membership organisations that I could be part of. This is the one that I feel fits me best because it's got that broad range of communications people in it. It's not just for one aspect of it. And I think we can all learn so much from people from different parts of the profession. So absolutely go and also learn a bit more about the things that you're interested in as well.
Amazing. And I'm going to offer to our listeners as well to reach out to you if they've got any questions about joining the IABC. We're always welcoming new members to the AMENA region, and I know the APAC region and the rest of the IABC is the same as well. So just Google IABC, E-M-E-N-A, and you'll find the AMENA region website. Thank you again, Lisa, Adrian, and Michael.
Thanks, Monique.
Thank you, Monique.